This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Blazers are bringing back Chauncey Billups and Joe Cronin. And we do have a ton of feedback on the fan text line. We will get to some of that. But I think more notably, we are staying on the clock today. And so we will have time to do that as long as we continue to do this. Yeah.
The first day post Jeff Austin. Nice work, guys.
There you go. in memoriam.
Mm-hmm. Pouring one out.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Still alive.
Yeah.
Not dead. But there. All right. There were some red flags, though, about bringing back Cronin and Chauncey Billups. You cannot win in the NBA without a star, right? And we got a lot of feedback coming in. One on the YouTube chats, like, you know, Doc Rivers, he did it without stars. Eh, not really. Orlando, he had prime Tracy McGrady, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul in LA. I don't know. Those Boston Celtics teams are pretty good.
Yeah.
Right. But that's neither here nor there, okay? The Blazers need a star. And there were a couple of comments that I went, uh-oh, okay, this is a little shaky and makes you feel uneasy if you're a Blazer fan. Here's Joe Cronin on where they find their superstar.
Our challenge is keep finding players, keep developing players. You know, from the development standpoint, we've seen a handful of guys take really nice big jumps this year, and I don't expect those to not continue. And, you know, there's a lot of talent on this roster, and I wouldn't put ceilings on a lot of these guys. Like, there's still, you know, a lot of time and a lot of talent that can be maximized here. Like, these guys, I wouldn't write them off to becoming those star-level guys. But with that, we've got to keep getting better externally as well.
Okay. Guys that are here developing into star-level players. Mm-hmm. I think we have seen tremendous growth from Temani Kamara, Denny Avdia. You've even seen it from Shaedon Sharpe, too, right? But those aren't the workhorse stars in the NBA.
No.
Now, Houston and what they are doing, it really is, it's an outlier of
a bunch of really good young players, but is there a true star there?
And they really are an outlier.
Yeah.
But with a coach who has done it before in Boston, right? In Ime Udoka.
It seems like a very similar path.
It does, but you're going to bank on the outlier, right?
Before we dive into this, I do want to say this. With everybody in town for Hoop Summit, it's Gosby High School, and there has been a lot of talk about the transition of the NBA in general. And I'm not saying the Blazers and the Rockets are making the right move here. They could be zigging when everybody else is zagging, and it blows up in their face. But there is a belief in the NBA of the big three eras and even Big Two eras kind of coming to a close because of what the CBA is and how long it runs, to where it might become one dyed-in-the-wool star, which you need to have. Mm-hmm. That I'm not arguing against. But it might almost be better and better served to have a ton of higher level depth.
No doubt about it. Well, having a ton of higher level depth, you still need a star, right?
Yes, you still need... Here's the thing. Depending on who you talk to, there was varying levels of degrees of like what star meant. Like, could you get by with two, you know, third team all NBA guys, as opposed to one first team and one fringe all-star kind of guy or something along those lines? And a lot of people like kept pointing to Houston as this test case of like, let's see what they do in the playoffs. You know what I mean? And again, this is not to excuse the Blazers. I think it's an interesting thing of which way the CBAs define eras because of the team building things that the blocks that come to place and how you have to navigate them. I'm wondering if we do see kind of a divergent path out of that.
It will be interesting, but also I think when you look at Houston and how they were built, they may not have a star, but the last 3 years they have had the number two pick, the number three pick, the number four pick, and the number three pick in the last 4 years.
It's some really good lottery luck. Really good lottery luck.
Again, the number three pick, the number four pick, the number three pick, the number two pick.
Mm-hmm. Really good lottery luck.
The Blazers have a three.
They had a three. Or excuse me, a seven, a three, and a seven.
Yeah.
And then we'll find out in now less than a month.
Okay. So let's also remember what Houston went through in order to get those guys, too.
They also had more to deal away when they did it.
Okay. All right. Chauncey Billups kind of echoed what Joe Cronin said, and this is where I'm like, oh, boy.
I look around the league, right, and you say having a star, and it's true. You know, you gotta have top-flight guys. But to me, I think we're raising that, all right? I think we're growing that. Like, I look at, like, when OKC traded for Shea, he wasn't a star. He wasn't a star yet. Now he's probably going to be the MVP of the league. Joker wasn't a star when he got to Denver. You know, they raised him into that. Giannis wasn't a star when he got to Milwaukee. They raised him into that. And I just think there's beauty in that because, again, when you raise them into that, they're raised playing the right way. And all of those guys, they just play right. They don't like, give me the ball, watch out, I got it. They just play right with the team because they was raised into that stardom. And that's where I think we're trying to go here. You know, you look at hopefully some of the leaps, you look at what Denny's done and Shaden and Scoot's taking a leap. I thought Ant had a really good job. I mean, we're raising the guys. I mean, talk about that stretch we was on. I mean, DA was 22-15 on that stretch that we just got a lot of situations that we're raising that I think are pretty cool. So most people will say, yeah, go get such and such, or yeah, go. Well, we might have that person. You know, we might already have those guys, but we'll see.
Okay, I get what he's saying with Shea and Giannis, right? But in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's third year in the NBA, he was averaging 24, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Giannis's fourth year in the NBA, Giannis was averaging 23, 9, and 5.5 with a steal and a half. And two blocks per game. Like, we've also seen some of the young guys in their development. Denny Avdia obviously had a much better year. He's at 17-3-4, right? And he is in his fifth year in the NBA. Shaedon Sharpe, 18.5.
19-5-3.
Yeah, 5-3, right?
Not bad.
Anfernee Simons.
Had a down year.
Has not averaged 23 points a game in his career.
No, his career has, what, 22?
22.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's 7 years. Mm-hmm. So you look at it and you say, yeah, those guys, they did develop into stars, and they didn't see that coming. But they also flashed it really damn early in their career.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And again, this is not a, well, the Blazers might. What they're looking at is Denny Avdia and Tumani Kamara, who were both late bloomers. And look, it's no secret. I thought the Denny move was a good move.
You sure did?
I'd be lying through my teeth if I thought I said he was going to be this good. No. I said 18-8-5.
Especially at the end of the year.
18-8-5 is what I saw from him. Going back to January 1st, which is now like 43 or 44 games, he's like 21-9-5. That's an all-star. Like, and if you're talking yourself into that, fine. I pull it back a little bit just because of context. But if you told me Denny averaged 28-4, it wouldn't surprise me now. And that's real growth. But is that the star? I don't think so. I think he's probably a number three now. Maybe if there is another gear, because there's a lot of opportunity for him to get better.
Yeah.
In a lot of different things. But they went a step too far for me in the believing in their own guys. And the caution that I have is that it is a path that the Blazers walked down with CJ McCollum.
Yes. And that's what it feels like. Those are the red flags that are kind of popping up where you're like,
you're not going to trade this dude because you're worried he's going to blossom somewhere else, or you drafted him and you developed him. And this is not a Blazers centric thing. This happens around the league. When you draft your guy, the last thing you want is your guy to get traded away and go be good somewhere else. The thing that, and I asked off the record around the organization, and I asked it during the press conference, how do you guard against getting too high on your own supply? Because that is the bigger issue for me. That's 2016 all over again. That's the 2017 draft. That's 2019. Yeah. That's a bigger issue to me than what they mentioned here. Although when Chauncey started talking, my ears perked up because I was like, there's a chance you might have that. And look, in reality, there is a chance. To me, it's a small chance that one of those guys develops into that. I think Shaden has got another gear to him. Yeah, I think he's a 20-point-a-game scorer. I think Denny is that. I think two is a 50-50 shot at making an all-defensive team. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good place to start. But the whole idea of them not being willing to go after somebody else because they think they might have that in-house does concern me a little bit.
And Joe Crona talked about big swings.
This year I felt like we got a ton of data. Right. What's working, what isn't. What skill sets do we need to add? What types of personalities do we need to add? We learned a lot about our roster this year. Do we have all the answers yet? No. Are we still learning? Yes. I mean, still the second youngest team in the league, still have a lot to learn about and see from our young players and how these veterans fit in with them. So the approach, though, I think we can definitely be more diligent about the specific type of player that we're adding. And I love that we're at that stage where, as a front office, we don't feel that pressure to keep taking swing after swing to try and hit on the next up-and-coming guy. I think we're starting to feel really comfortable with our talent base that we can be more diligent about adding specific types of guys.
That is that is a good sign that they trust the guys that they have, but it's also the concerning one of, like, that you said when you got hired, like, you're not going to be afraid to take the big swing. It seems like what you kind of framed right there with you draft these guys, you get an attachment to them, or you bring in a guy and you develop him and you get that attachment to him, and you're not willing to let him go to make a bigger swing. And, like, look, reality is this team, it played above the expectations in that back half of the year.
I mean, it's a 15-win improvement. I mean,
with a lot of guys that were still shut down. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons. We did not see those guys at the back half of the year. Rob Williams, well, is that by his choice or not?
Yeah.
You know, by the organization's choice. But with those guys still in the mix, what does this team look like? Because in the front half of the season, they were there, and it still looked clunky, mm-hmm. right? And it's not like, you know, to use a Neil O'Shea-ism, the panacea isn't going to be, hey, they're going to be back and we're going to be that much better. DeAndre Ayton played really well in that 12-game, the 10 of winning 10 of 12, right? Mm-hmm. Played really damn well. But you have a 7-footer, got injured, going to be coming back off of a significant injury. What happens with Jeremy Grant? What happens with Anthony Simons? What happens with DeAndre Ayton?
I'll say Jeremy flagged a few things in his press conference. Say that. A lot of mentions of agents.
See?
And discussions with the front office.
And you have a player of that caliber, okay, where Jeremy Grant still does have value, but what are you going to get in return for him?
And that's what's going to be interesting is, and we've talked about this so much, in now less than a month, May 12th, the draft lottery is going to make a lot of decisions. Here's what's interesting for me to what Joe said. The idea of not being forced to take the big swing. Look, I think they have in the draft taken the biggest swings. I think Scoot was a big swing. Shaden was undoubtedly a big swing, a total unknown. Didn't play basketball for basically a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Didn't play in college. The last time he played was, you know, in high school. And now he's starting to deliver on some of the high-end talent stuff. I think Donovan Klingon is a swing.
Like, I do, too, just because of where you drafted Klingon. Remember, two picks later, Zach Edey went to Memphis, and everybody's like, ooh, you know.
The Grizzlies got Edey, da-da-da-da. Yeah. Know, like, they didn't go this way. I think when the Blazers look at their roster, they look at two, they look at Denny, and they look at Donovan, and they're trying to see. They're not just swinging for the fences. I think they look at those three guys as kind of the tent poles right now. And what are the things that you need to enhance those things?
Yeah.
Now, I think shooting is number one up and down the roster. That's the thing that they need the most. And they said as much. So does that impact who they draft now? Like, let's say something crazy happens and they move into the top four. Let's just say they get fourth. Do they, because right now it sounds like Vijay Edgecombe is going to go third, which would put Ace Bailey on the board. Do they take Ace Bailey? Is that the guy that they think is the guy that makes sense? Or do they now potentially look to trade that pick and go a different path and prioritize more creation?
I will say, if there's anything from Cronin that he said in this press conference that he had gone the other direction on, this will tamper down the expectations of the move that they make. And because remember, they had overhyped what they were going to do. They had overhyped Scoot Henderson and his impact when they drafted him third overall. And it was to a detriment to the organization and to Scoot Henderson specifically.
Don't overpromise and underdeliver.
And Joe Cronin for, I'm going to make these big swings. He has toned that down a little bit. But that also gets the fan base all in ramped up when you say we're going to be making these big moves, right?
Yeah, and I do believe that they are still motivated to make the big move if they can find the big move.